Welcome back, everybody, to our next episode, where we really try and define, I think it's the topic on everybody's mind these days. What is good? Can we come up with a way to define it together? We're going to do that with the man who seems to know how to bring it out of people here and find the people who are doing good, Mr. Good himself, William Deed. That's what we're going to call you.
I like that. I'm put that on a t-shirt.
I'm Mr. Good. Not Mr. T, but
Mr. Good.
I love that.
All right. So I'm William. I'm a campus director. What I do for a living, I'm a campus director for a great college in Santa Ana called Oak Valley. And we're a business school. We give a bachelor's degree in 2 years and 2 years and 8 months with no debt. So I've been doing that for the last couple of years. And
That sounds pretty good right there. That sounds pretty good right there.
Is that good?
I'm sorry to cut you into it.
Yeah. Amazing.
I was about to keep going. Do I just keep going?
Keep going. I'm sitting and jumping.
Okay. Yeah. My heart behind all that is I love students. I love working with young people and seeing, just like our guest, he's going to tell you some amazing things about her. And yeah, it's just a passion of mine. And meeting great people. So I get out there a lot. I go to events. I get to meet great people like Jordan, and she'll tell you the story of how we met. And so I work for a great college. And to me, good is loving all my people. I've been in corporate America. I have a lot of corporate experience, and I've gotten a chance to work for some what I think are really horrible managers, and I've worked for great ones as well. But I've learned from both, and I've taken a mixture of what I've learned from both, and I think I've made it into who I am as a person. And that's why I treat my staff with respect. I try my best to have an amazing culture, and that means everything to me. So that's my good, how I give back and how I take care of my people.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Now we're bringing our guest, and she's going to say, I don't do any of that. That's what you think is good. No, that's not good management.
Well, yeah, but Jordan, so anyway.
Introduce your guest.
I want to introduce you to someone that's amazing. Her name is Jordan, and she'll tell you who she is, but she'll tell you how we met too. But Jordan's amazing. We're going to have a great conversation here. I'm looking forward to it. Jordan, introduce yourself and what you do.
I'm Jordan Barrera. I am the Director of Communications and Development at a nonprofit called Higher Ground Youth and Family Services. It's a really wonderful organization, but before I get into that, I should probably share how William and I, because it is a really fun story.
Cool.
Good story.
It is a good story.
It's a good story.
We were both going to a Chamber of Commerce mixer where there were several different Chamber of Commerces that were there, and we were in line, and there was this long line forming, and it was so funny because I think it was at a Dave's Hot Chicken or something like that.
It was at Dave's Hot Chicken.
And it was so random for both of us because it seemed
which
like...
Which is good in and of itself. Dave's Hot Kitchen is good stuff.
Yes.
And we're like, they're like, no, upstairs. There's a full like outdoor upstairs area. And I think it was just for everybody who'd never been there. It was, wow, okay. So we get in line and we're just standing there and this gentleman walks up behind me and I love meeting people because I love to hear people's story and find out who they are and just what they're doing in this world. And it's one of my favorite things. So I turned around and I said, hi, I'm Jordan. And he said, hi, I'm William Dean. And we started talking about it. And he said, have you done these types of things before? And I said, yes. And I said, I love it. And he goes, well, I'm nervous. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's hang out all night and we can walk up to people and I'll say, hi, I'm Jordan. Have you met my friend William? And that was what we did. And since then, we've been great friends.
Yeah, yeah. And she totally took care of me, which is what I love.
We had somebody in on a business show about 6 months ago, and it was all about how to network at networking events or whatever you call that. And she said, everybody's terrified. I don't know anybody here. And so they get a drink and they go stand in the corner and they think, why am I here and when can I get out? And she said, the best strategy is just what you did. Go find somebody who walk you around.
Yeah. And she does that. Every event I see her at, she's shaking hands and talking to people. And I'm like, I just want to get on her coattails because I know I'm going to meet some people because she's there.
It's just really fun. And like when you have someone like William who's super fun too, it's almost this incredible experience to make those introductions.
Yeah.
And people, you'll find most people, they want to meet other people. They're there for that purpose. So if you can give that start, what a wonderful way for you to make a connection, but then also for you to provide a situation where they're making a connection and to see, as this, you know, what we're here for, the good that can come out of those connections that are being made.
Yes, absolutely. So what's Higher Ground? What's that about?
So Higher Ground, we're a nonprofit in Orange County, and we do three core things. But really, our mission is to help youth and families who are living in under-resourced and underserved communities really see there is purpose and possibility out there for them, and then give them the tools and resources to reach it. And so we do three core pillars, and everything that we do is completely free. We don't charge anybody for anything. Wow. And so the first pillar is youth mentorship, which is free after school programs where kids get to experience all different types of things like hands-on STEM and art, creativity, gardening, sports, and so much more. And really, when you think about it, you don't know you have a passion for something or love something until you've experienced it.
Right.
And so what a cool opportunity for these kids who might not otherwise have these opportunities to find their passion, and then surround them with positive mentors that are made up of staff, volunteers, and interns who are going to mentor them and encourage them in those passions and say, oh my gosh, you want to be a scientist? Awesome. Let's do that. Let's do more hands-on STEM experiments. Let's go out and figure out exactly what kind of things interest you. And so it's amazingly empowering for these youth. And then we also have an 8-week free summer camp that goes from 10 a.m. to 5:30, which provides so many opportunities for these youth. But also think of the benefit for the parents, who finding childcare during the summer is so hard and so expensive.
Right.
And so they can bring their kids to this program, and then they're able to know that their kids are in a safe environment while also the kids are getting mentored. And so it's a really wonderful partnership with the parents.
Yeah.
The second pillar is family wraparound care. And that's because we know that poverty is cyclical. We know that abuse is cyclical. And we know that a lot of parents, they're parenting the way they were parented, right? We know that a lot of families haven't had the opportunity because they were these youth. They don't know the ways and the paths forward to reach their potential, to find their purpose and see life's possibilities. And so we wrap around a whole family. So we have completely free mental health services for kids and for adults. So individual, grief, trauma, marriage, behavioral, you name it, where we are able to provide these services at no cost to these youth and families.
Wow.
We also do case management, where we are able to work with families to help them get connected to resources. So a recent study was done in Anaheim that found one of the number one reason that youth and families are not utilizing services is because they do not know they exist.
Wow.
And so one of the biggest barriers we can remove is having a family come in and share their challenges and then saying, oh my goodness, either we can help you or we have a huge network of other nonprofits and community resources, and let's get you connected and plugged in there.
Wow.
And one of our newest things is we have a bodega, which is basically a completely free grocery store where families can come and get food. And I always tell people, it's not a food pantry, because a food pantry, the mission is to provide food, and food pantries are incredible.
Right.
But they can serve hundreds of people. And that's never going to be Higher Ground, because that's not our goal. Our goal is providing food for families so that they can focus on what it is they need to do or the challenges they need to come, those underlying issues that are leading them to be food insecure.
Yeah.
And so when families come to the bodega, they are actually meeting with case managers multiple times a week. They're getting involved in mental health and counseling, whatever that family needs, as well as getting a small stipend if they're a part of our Flourishing Families program to help them find their way forward and see the path, and taking them from hopeless to hopeful.
Wow. I love that.
Thank you.
Wow.
It's super impactful.
Yeah.
And to me, you see the difference it makes, and it's incredible. And the last pillar is community education, and that is human trafficking and youth exploitation prevention. And that is brain education. And that is a program that goes into our junior highs, our high schools. We've gone to conferences. We've had parent classes where we teach the vulnerabilities like self-esteem, what healthy relationships look like to youth who may not otherwise know that, that make them more vulnerable to perpetrators. And then we also teach social media and online safety, which is a big component. And I always tell people, it's about teaching them the why. And I use this example to really make it simple, right? So I'm a parent of a 14-year-old, right? And if I go out and I bring home a big thing of fries and I set it on the counter and I say, hey, don't touch these fries. These are my fries. And I walk away. He's going to start smelling them. He's hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, those fries are going to start looking really good, right? I might walk away and I'm not in the room. He might get one or two fries. I know if I'm in the car getting him fries, I do the mom tax, right? Got to have a couple of those fries for myself. And it's because there's no why. But if I come home and put those fries on the counter and say, hey, these have been in my car all day, they're going to make you sick, don't eat these fries, and I walk away, guess what? he's not going to eat those fries because he understands if he eats them, he's going to get sick and he doesn't want to get sick. And so I always tell people it's about teaching youth, whether they be junior high age, high school age, or even younger, and even parents understanding the why behind why we don't do certain things or why it's not recommended. Because then when you're not in the room, they will still make those decisions because they understand the why.
Wow. Wow. I love that. I love everything you said.
Thank you.
I remember when I came to, when you invited me to tour the facility, and one thing I was impressed with, well, everything I was impressed with, but what I enjoyed the most was seeing your interaction with your people.
How much
they respected you, how much they loved you, wanted to be a part of something. It seems like what you guys are doing is, you guys are a part of something amazing, and it's still in that growth phase, right? You're still building it to become amazing. And I love that.
Thank you.
I can see it in the next 3 to 5 years, even it's everywhere. And that's, and that's the beautiful thing about it, because like you said, a lot of people don't know that it's out there. I was, we had Laval on here last month.
And we're South County Outreach.
He is wonderful, and that organization is absolutely great.
Yeah. And when I interviewed him, I walked away, I felt like I was in a therapy session with him because, and we talked about just like what I went through back in like 2012, where I was unemployed for a year and trying to figure things out with my family, and just those resources that were there to help me to, I finally found a job, thank God, and all that. But in the middle of all that, it was hard trying to figure out how we were going to eat and pay our bills. And both of our daughters were in school and just trying to make all that happen. But if it wasn't for organizations like you guys out there to support the community and help, I just think about, I don't know how we would have made it, you know? Yeah. So
I can completely understand that. So something about me is that I started out in Higher Ground as a mom. My son has been in the program for 7 years, and I was a single mom, and Higher Ground walked alongside me and my son for years. He was in their after school program and seeing the mentorship. There are still mentors today at Higher Ground that have known my son since he was 7 years old, and he's now 14, and he looks up to them. They are a second family for him. And I've seen that with some of his friends, and it makes a huge difference. And I started out, I had my son young. I got pregnant when I was 18 and had my son when I was 19. And that first couple of years, it was rough.
Yeah.
And it was nonprofits like Moms OC. It was WIC. It was all kinds of support systems that were there to support me that allowed me to become the mom that I am today. And it led me to be able to get a job and eventually find Higher Ground and provide for my son and become the type of person I wanted for my son.
Wow.
And it's important. I think there's so many amazing nonprofits out there that do such important work. And like you said, we know firsthand.
Yeah.
I think everybody in their life at some point is going to go through something.
Yeah.
And there are so many amazing services that are out there that will meet a family where they're at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Orange County is full of them. There's so many nonprofits in Orange County. I went online, obviously, because I do a lot of outreach for as far as our school. And I go online sometimes and I put in like nonprofits in Orange County. Hundreds of nonprofits pop up.
Yep.
And it's like, how do all these people get known? I'm sure they have people like you or me that are out there promoting and going to events and shaking hands and giving out cards and all that. And I think to myself, man, there's just so much work to do. And there's, everybody's doing great work. When I think about good, the topic of this show, it's like, everybody's doing good.
Absolutely.
But how do we take what we're doing and make it great as far as taking all these other organizations? And I wish there was a way of meeting with every single director, vice president, CEO of all these companies, all these nonprofits, and figuring out a way for all of us to help each other in some kind of way.
There is. It's called a podcast.
It's called a podcast.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Well, I think so. You make such a good point. And I think I didn't come from the nonprofit world up until 3 years ago. So I talked about being with Higher Ground for 7 years. But the first 4 years, it was as a mom. And I had a totally different career. I had almost a decade career working as an office manager at a high-end real estate firm. I'd worked really hard to work my way up. And it was a great experience. I got to work with marketing and client relations and transaction coordinating, and it was great. And I learned so much from it. But it also gave me a different perspective.
Right.
When 3 years ago, the executive director, who was the founder of Higher Ground, said, "You volunteer here so much. You clearly have a passion. We have somebody who is retiring and stepping back, and we've talked a lot. And I know when you were younger, you wanted to work with kids. do you want to come work here? And wow. It was the scariest decision I've ever made because wow. I had a 5-year plan. I knew what I was going to do. And I said, you know what? I think this is what I meant to do.
Yeah.
And I was able to take that knowledge and experience and bring it to higher ground. And so I think coming into it, one of the things that was so interesting, but I feel so blessed to have come in at the time that I did, is that historically nonprofits worked in silos mm-hmm. because it was such a competitive environment, competing right. for funding, participants, competing for donors. And so they didn't really, it was very siloed and there wasn't as much collaboration. And I think it's been incredible in the just over 3 years I've been in the nonprofit world to see the leaps and bounds we're making in that, where yeah. nonprofits are coming together and getting into the same room. I'm part of a couple different groups. Like there's a group called ACT, which is run by the Anaheim Community Foundation, Accelerating Change Together, where they bring together a room of organizations and nonprofits that historically have been quote unquote competitors to figure out how can we work together to address these issues? Because we each, while what we do is similar, we are solving slightly different problems for right. different communities.
I got to jump in because that was the word that William insisted on adding to this show, which isn't just defining good or doing good. It's doing good together. And that's what, when the nonprofit world, they're all doing good, but they're doing it in different directions and not together and not in combination and sometimes in competition with each other for those dollars and donors. Yeah. And I think that doesn't help them. How do we define or do good together?
Yeah.
We should have that organization come in here. I didn't know there was an entity that brought charities together.
Yeah, there. It's honestly, it's wonderful. And there's been a few of them, but absolutely. Janice Heckel, she's the executive director, and it was such a great thing for them to do because you have these organizations now working together on grants, working together on addressing these issues and looking at, they did an assessment of the city of Anaheim to look at, okay, what are the issues that our community is saying we have and how do we work together to solve them rather in silos? And I think that's where you really have a lasting and deep impact is yeah. when you come together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to continue to reach out. I reach out to everybody and I see the director of this organization, the president of this organization. And that's my mission, is to figure out a way to bring all these nonprofits together to start doing stuff. Because we're all doing great things and we're all trying to help the next generation in a sense through helping parents or us educating their kids and sending them off into the world to do great things. But yeah, so you said you ended up in this by just being a parent and having your child being in that organization. Where do you see yourself going with this? Because you said you had a 5-year plan when you came, but what's your 5-year plan now?
That's the fun part about nonprofit work is I don't have the same kind of 5-year plan I had because things seem to just come as they come. And it's been an amazing journey to let go a little bit of the planner in me and start to figure out where can I do the most good?
Yeah.
Like, where can I have the most impact? And it's been a big part of being able to be part of groups like the ACT Collaborative, where I'm getting to meet other nonprofits and see how we can partner. It's going out and meeting people. I always say development directors are seen as I always hear, oh, you're the person that brings in money. You're the person that makes money, right? That's not wrong. But I also don't fully believe that's what we do. I think what your job is as a development director is to build a bridge. You are a bridge builder. Because there are incredible people over here and amazing companies who really want to make an impact in the community. They want to make a difference.
Yeah.
And then you have this amazing group over here who are people who are resilient and so deserving of that support and who that support would be transformational for. Mm-hmm. And your job is to build a bridge from the people that want to do the support to the people who are deserving of the support.
Wow.
And I think that is what development directors are there to do.
Yeah.
And I always say, it is not my job to convince somebody to care about the same things that are important to me. That is not my job. My job, as you said earlier, is to make them know that we exist. Because based on people's life experiences and who they are as people, different causes are going to resonate with them.
Absolutely.
And I think that you have to know a cause exists to know that's even a possibility.
Yeah.
And so my job is to go out there and to make sure people are aware that higher ground exists. And for some people, like it was for me, it's going to be the cause that pulls on my heartstrings. It's
right.
going to be something they want to give to.
Yeah, yeah.
For other people, they're going to say, that is an amazing cause, and I think it's great. But for me, maybe it's veterans that they want to support. Maybe they want to help victims of human trafficking and domestic violence. Those are both incredibly important causes.
Absolutely.
And we need people who care about those causes and who want to make an impact. it is my job to just make, let them know that we are even there. And they might say, that's a wonderful, I think what you do is great. But for me, I feel like my heartstrings tell me that I want to support veterans. But you know what? They may come across somebody else who says, man, I would love to be partner up with an organization that works with kids.
Yeah.
Oh, and they can say, I know of this great organization. And then they become a bridge builder.
Right.
And they bridge that gap. And I think that's truly what a development director and a communications director, that's what your job is, to help build bridges and create bridge builders.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And I agree with that. I would say 25% of my job is development. And and I've said that myself, that I'm the guy that needs to go out there and find money. I've said that myself. So definitely, yeah, feel you on that. But I love the idea of the, because it's like you said, I do coffee with people all the time. So I probably meet 3-4 people a week for coffee. And I'm big on that. Hey, let's just go do a coffee. Let's go do a coffee. And trying to get people to see our vision. And it's like you said, they might be interested in other things, but they may know someone who's interested in supporting what we're doing. And so my CEO, we always have these talks and I'm like, hey, he's just go. What I love about him is so far, I've been there for 2.5 years and he doesn't micromanage me. He's like, tell him what I'm doing when we talk, but he's not, hey, where you at? What were you doing the last 15 minutes or this or that? I'm honest with him. If when I'm out there, I'm like, hey, I was at an event, I was doing this, I was doing that. And he's just do it. And that's what it's all about.
And I think that's how it has to be done, because it shouldn't be transactional. Yeah. I shouldn't be like, hey, I'm going to come meet with you for coffee so you can give us money for this. It's about building that relationship with people, because you are connecting them to a cause that matters to them. So think about, if you're a person and you're going to care about a cause and it matters to you, you want to be building a relationship with the person that's on the other end. So in your case, you're representing the college. That is what you're doing. And so you are the person that they get to build a relationship with,
exactly,
that then connects them to the work that and the people that are there.
Exactly.
And I think it's a really cool opportunity. I think what we do is really fun, because you get to meet incredible people, whether they're other people who work in nonprofit work, whether they're people who work at corporations, right, or whether it's individuals, and you get to see and hear people's stories and what matters to them. And I think that is such a unique and wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely.
That we get to do.
Absolutely.
Can I ask both of you, I'm listening to this fascinating, because you both are geeking on this world that you live in of raising money and working and do good. And too often, money and good seem to be opposites. I'm not saying money's bad. We need money to eat and to grow and to fund all these things. But if the purpose becomes just money, I feel that way. I'm sorry to say, many charities, you give once and then all of a sudden you get hounded and you want to go away. I gave you money once. That doesn't mean every 5 minutes you're going to hit me up for more money here. And it drives me away from it. So it feels like the money is the only purpose to get more and more and more. So how do you, both of you, we'll start with your guest. How do you define good in your organization? You're both trying to do good. Is it how much you raise, how many you serve, how much impact you make? Is it measured, or is it just always about more? I don't know. What does that mean? How do you define good?
No, that's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to take this in two directions. I'm going to say, defining good in what we do, I know I've said this 5 times now, but it's building that bridge, right? So for me, it's if I can be the solution to somebody saying, man, I really want to volunteer somewhere, or I really want my company to start giving back. And I'm able to come in and say, hey, this is a wonderful opportunity. I would love to share it with you and see if it's the right fit for what you're looking for. And then we will have people that fall in love, and it becomes this thing that is a passion for them and it's fulfilling for them. I think that's what people get lost on is, you're right, there are a lot of organizations that once you give once, it becomes very transactional give, and it becomes, again, not about the relationship.
There's never enough. More. We need more. We got to have more. You can give more.
And so then they lose sight of it being a relationship. They lose sight of that you're not a piggy bank. You're right. A person. And you are a person. And the reason why you gave matters. You gave because you cared about what's going on. And so I think it's more about figuring out, hey, did this for this person, our organization is having an impact because it is helping them feel fulfilled in giving back. And so when they're giving back, they may not want to give back over and over and over again, but maybe they want to give back and then they want to hear about the impact that they're getting.
Or they want to refer somebody, mm-hmm, want to volunteer.
They want to build a connection. They want it. Volunteering is the biggest thing. So many people volunteering is so fulfilling. That's how I started. I was a volunteer. And so I volunteered when my son was there. And that's how I ended up working there, because it was fulfilling for me. And so keeping in mind that the people on the other end of that money, on the other end of those checks, are people who are being fulfilled by being able to contribute to the organization. And then remembering that contributing looks like more than just writing a check. Contributing looks like volunteering. It means building connections. It means having a real relationship with the people on the other end.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing it being very personal, one-on-one. Good is the one-on-one people we serve, the one-on-one people we connect with. We don't just come up with a list of donors. We don't just come up with a spreadsheet for profit and loss or whatever. Profit and loss, but whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? More than just an accumulation. It's somehow a connection. And I guess that's what I've been missing. I don't feel many connections with most of the charity that I give to. There was something that made me give, and then they quickly drive that out of me.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking because that's not how it should be. And I feel like too many development directors get caught up in the numbers. You asked about, like, how do we track it? And I think, unfortunately, people get stuck in those numbers. And that's where you have that loss of relationship. And then you lose people who, I always say, nobody, one of my favorite quotes, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And okay. If everybody did do something, that is how we would transform the world.
What's the association? There's an association for all the professional fundraisers or something. I forgot what it's called.
AFP. Yeah.
They had a conference downstairs here at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation. I snuck in and listened to it. And one of them said, fewer people are giving than ever before, but they're giving more. So the amount of money is going up, but the amount of donors are going down.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that said to me what you just said, then we better have a relationship with them. They better feel connected to us.
Yeah.
And we better reach out and find a way to get more people connected to us.
And I think that's it. I think fewer people are giving. There's a could go on and on about the reasons why there's less people giving. But I think if people felt there was more of a relationship in giving and more of that, not only would they continue to give, but more people would want to give because it's a sense of fulfillment. Because I don't think I've ever met anybody that's, nope, I don't believe in helping my community. I don't want to make a difference.
Right.
It's that people, I think, have lost faith because of the things that you're talking about. They're afraid to give because they don't want to get hounded. They're afraid to give because they don't know where the money's going, or they feel uncertain of it, or they don't give because they feel like it's not enough and it won't make a difference. And I think that it's important that we help people realize that they're really, their gifts matter, but more than that, it's the fact that they're doing something and wanting to make a difference that matters.
Absolutely.
What do you think? Are we on the right track here?
I agree with everything she just said. I love it. For me, I always think, my president always says, don't ask if you ask for money, you'll get advice. If you ask for advice, you'll get money.
That's great.
And so
explain that. All right. So I'm thinking about that.
It was his saying.
Right.
But what I loved about it was that, because when I go out to meet with people and I sit with people, I never ask someone to write a check. I never do. I'm a relationship builder. It's what I do. And I think that's one of my strong points. Other than I teach a class, I do all these other things, but I think I'm best at meeting people.
And a relationship is about give and take. So I've never thought of this as a donor. Yeah, I have something in my little... There's some emotional connection because I knew somebody had went this, or I went through this, or in my brain I said I should do this, or I want to do this. But if I don't get something back in return, then it's just money out.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I need to get something back, some feeling like I really did make a difference, or I did really connect with the people you're serving, or I did connect with the community, or I brought others in and it became a second family. Somehow there's a relationship that goes on beyond just, oh, it's time to give money.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's such a important thing for people to keep in mind, especially right now when funding is getting harder and people, one of my biggest fears, and I've been really excited to see it not happening, was as funding has gotten harder, are nonprofits going to go back to being siloed? Are people going to go back to being transactional because they're living in
a world of scarcity?
Yes, it's
if
that scarcity
mindset. If they give to them, they won't give to me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that mindset actually doesn't serve the community. I always tell people, we did not get in this because we wanted our nonprofit to succeed. We got into the nonprofit world because we wanted to make a difference.
Yeah.
And if you zoom out, you have to look at what is the best way to do that. And that's when we succeed together, not by ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's huge. And for me, it's the same thing. I look at these kids and I'm like, man, my heart is to, I always say when I do interviews at places, I'm like, they're like, why do you do this? I'm like, because nobody came to get me. When I was in high school, nobody came to get me. That I don't remember a college coming to my campus. I don't remember somebody talking to me about school. My mom raised 8 kids and she just worked. It was like, look, just don't break the law, become good people and live your life. She never, I can't honestly remember one time that my mom talked about college. I cannot remember it ever. But I knew I wanted to.
There was
to
no 5-year plan.
No. She was like, look, just get a job. Don't break the law. I don't want to have to bail you out of jail. And it was like, okay, all right. And all my brothers and sisters, we just worked.
Yeah.
When it was like, I started going to college because I was like, well, I got nothing else better to do. So I started going to college. I wasn't successful at first. And then I figured out the system and figured it out and graduated and got some degrees. But so that's my heart. When I go into these communities with these kids that were raised that way, where it was like, just work by the sweat of your brow and feed your family. That's, I want to help you get a degree and figure out where you don't have to break your back your entire life. Let's figure that out.
So you raised, maybe I'm going to get too deep here on you, but it just popped in my head. You both seem to have an intention to do good.
Yeah.
It's a plan to do good. It's not just, okay, somebody came up and I'll give you $1, I'll help you out, or somebody. Many of us stumble into doing good. We didn't set up, it's like the old Westerns. I didn't come into town to save the town, but here I am saving the town. I didn't mean to do this. A reluctant hero. I don't want to do this. But you guys seem to be, is that part of it? If you define good together, is it an intentional act? You have to focus and see it and force yourself and do it and go for it? And
absolutely.
Or you just stumble into doing good?
No, I think, well, I'm going to say there's a little bit of both there because I think, but I think to do good consistently, it's intentional, right? Because unfortunately, life fills up and it's very easy in the world we live in to get super busy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so you have to be intentional about doing good. And I think that there are moments where you'll have those moments that you stumble into it. Like you're in the grocery store behind someone who can't, their card declines and you can pay for them and you've done a little bit of good to brighten this world. There are moments like that where you pay for the person and it's coffee who's in line behind you at Starbucks. But if you want to do good consistently and really have that deeper impact, it's about making that choice that you want to do good and then figuring out what that looks like for you.
And then prioritizing it.
Exactly.
I'm guilty of this. I'll do good tomorrow. Today, I got to pay the bills. Today, I got to cut the lawn. Today, I got to pick up my kids, whatever.
I think everyone's heard the analogy where you have the vase and you put the big rocks in first, then the pebbles, and then the sand, and then the water. And I think that people, a lot of times, doing good is the sand or the water. It's the last thing to go in when I have extra time. And I think,
when I retire, when I make enough money, when I
exactly. Yeah, yeah. And it's about, if it really is something important to you and you want to have an impact, it's about making it one of the big rocks that goes in first.
Absolutely.
Setting that time aside ahead of time and making a difference. And I think to your point, defining good's going to look different for everybody, right? And then even more, it's going to look different for, I'm sure, as how I define good personally. And then how Higher Ground defines good based on the different things that we do. For Higher Ground, defining good means creating an environment where youth who feel alone or feel like they're not worth anything or they don't have a future, they find people and purpose and they feel, they know that they matter and that they're important.
Yeah.
For a family, it means a parent who maybe is feeling completely overwhelmed and hopeless and doesn't see a way forward is able to see a path and feel hopeful and is able to get the resources and tools to achieve what they've always hoped and dreamed of, and sometimes even more than they ever thought they could.
Yeah.
And I think in general, it's about creating an environment that is not just free from crisis, but that is full of purpose and possibility for youth and families.
You keep saying those two words. I've never heard either of those in the charitable word, purpose and possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are words that, is that your words, that their words? Where do those words come from? Because I think too many kids, I didn't have any purpose when I was young. Like you said, go the next step, do the next step, do the next step.
Yeah.
Don't know what else to do. There was no grand purpose. I wasn't, today kids are, I'm going to solve cancer when I'm 12 or something. That's how they're going to get into college or whatever. So they seem to be very thought, looking long range. I was looking to the next 5 minutes here. And so there wasn't a purpose. And then possibilities. I always felt possibilities because I grew up in a nice neighborhood. But I hear all the time people say, no. We had a woman that came in here on the Hispanic show. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I think she's a public official now in Anaheim. I'd have to go back and look at the episode. And she was told, and growing up where she was, in a poor Hispanic neighborhood, she wanted to go to college. They said, no, that's not for you. The counselor told her, why don't you go to beauty school or something?
Gosh,
that's awful.
Not for you.
So bad.
Come on, let's get real here.
So bad.
That's awful.
So there was no possibility.
Yeah.
And so I think those are two big words that I never hear anybody talk about purpose or possibility.
Yeah. And I think that they're important words. I think you are completely right. I think that makes the difference for everybody, individuals, families, even for our employees. For a lot of our employees, we know that they're going to be with us. We're like a landing space. They're with us temporarily while a lot of them, because it's a part-time job, while they're in college.
Yeah.
And we can pour into them and mentor them. I think it's really, if people see purpose and possibilities, they have hope. And I think
that's the connection right there. And how many of us don't have hope?
Exactly. Especially in the world we live in today.
Hope for a better life. Hope mm-hmm. that something good's going to happen to me. We live in this kind of negative society here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a horrible place right now, the world. So.
Yeah.
I still try to look for the beauty in it, but it's getting worse.
But
it's getting darker.
But purpose and possibility. I never thought of those. Might be two keys to start unlocking the door here.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
So how do people reach you if they want to find out more about purpose and possibilities at Higher Ground here?
Yeah. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at my email, which is jordanbarrera@highergroundoc.org. Again, Jordan Barrera at Higher Ground.
Spell that for everybody.
Yep. You've got that. Jordan.
Good Irish name, Barrera here. I'm not trying to spell it.
So Jordan, Jordan, last name Barrera, Barrera. At Higher Ground, so HIGHER ground, GROUND, OC.org. Okay. And I would love to, if you want to come see our campus.
Where is it at?
It is in Anaheim, our main campus. So if you'd love to come for a tour, or like William, I do coffees, and that's always a really fun way to get to know people and
Absolutely.
To get to talk more. I'd love to connect with you. And this show, Defining Good, is really a bright light in what is a hard world. So if you're not already following these podcasts, I highly recommend you do so because it'll be a bright moment.
Or come on, or share it. Tell people about it. Or give us your comments. I don't know. This show started for me because I met William on a show, and he started talking about the good work that they do, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Give the plug again. What does the school do? What's the promise of the school?
Oak Valley College, 2 years, 8 months, bachelor's degree, no debt.
No debt. That
so incredible.
So incredible. So I thought, okay, you're doing good. And then he talked to me about his story. And I said, what does that mean? Everybody comes into the studio. Everybody's doing good. Good for a business.
Yep.
Good for their company. Good for themselves. Good for the family. Good for the community. Good for the world. Everybody's got a different definition of what good is. And I thought, boy, I'd love to show where we explore, meet people who are doing good, find out how they're doing it, and then maybe we can all learn to do it together here.
Absolutely.
I agree. And I think one thing that you just touched on, I think it's everybody working together. Business, nonprofit, individuals, education, it's everybody.
And can I be honest and told this to William? That was the word I wanted to take out of it. It's like, I thought it was going to be doing good, defining good, something. it was just going to be action oriented. And he insisted together. And I thought, that's three words. That's too many. But that is maybe the key word.
It is. I think it's the key word to really having an impact and really transforming the world we live in is working together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. William, how do they reach you if they want to find you?
LinkedIn, or you can go to oakvalley.edu, or you can go to WDEED@oakvalley.edu. That's my email address.
Okay.
So
reach out. Thanks for coming in. Fascinating to listen. You guys get it. You're on the same wavelength. We're trying to listen. We're trying to tune in and say, what does this really mean? Can I do good? And can I do it together? Or are we all apart on our own, alone, whatever, against each other here? Not today. Thanks for joining us here on this program. Wow. You mean there's hope? We can define good together? Unpacking leadership, loyalty, and doing the right thing. People who are doing it, walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Even though we talk about it here today, these are the people doing it. Thanks for joining us. We hope you'll talk about it to others. And join us on this journey as we define good together right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.